Our next speaker is Dr. Sam Gamata. Where's Sam? There he is. Okay, so Sam is a research scientist with Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada in Ottawa. He's carried out extensive research in climate and agriculture, including the development of climate data sets, models, etc., related to climate change scenarios. And here he is.
Thank you. Maybe while he's setting it up, I can point out that there was a precedent set yesterday that if you're a McGill grad, you get 5 extra minutes, which I am. And since I was a classmate of Chandra's, I should get another 5 extra minutes.
Take it off.
Okay. But if you're a McGill grad, you should be able to do it effectively in even less time.
All right. Good afternoon. Well, thank you for the last presentation. I think it's a hard act to follow, and I think he's covered off a lot of the things. So I'm going to be talking about potential effects of climate change on crop production, and I'll focus on Canadian crop production, and at the end of my presentation I'll be talking about effects broadly on an African setting, and I'll just basically be looking at the IPCC results from that. The IPCC, and this has been highlighted before, in its last assessment report basically indicated that the warming system of the climate system is unequivocal, and basically as it relates to increases in global average air temperature and ocean temperatures, and of course widespread melting of snow and ice and sea level rise. Of these, the important one from an agriculture perspective is air temperatures, and that this is related to anthropogenic greenhouse gas emissions. And from an agricultural perspective, an additional thing to be concerned about as well is the projected increase in the frequency of extreme events, as was indicated, in terms of particularly heat waves, droughts, and heavy precipitation, and also projected decreases in water resources in much of the semi-arid areas, mostly in the low latitudes, but also in areas like, for example, the Canadian prairies. So we've looked at what impact that this will have within a Canadian context, and in my presentation I'll just be focusing on the Canadian prairies because they're a significant portion of agriculture production in Canada, and basically highlight effects on growing season length, crop heat units, precipitation, and water deficits. Now, Canada is the second largest country in the world, but the green area highlighted is basically a fraction of that, which is the agricultural area. And of that, the prairies constitute Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba, which basically produce between 80 and 85% of Canadian agriculture production. And impacts in a Canadian context are very important because it is actually the fourth largest exporter and fifth largest importer of agriculture and agri-food products. And I'll just give you a highlight of what the prairies, conditions, characteristics, climate characteristics, and again, the constraints around growing season length, crop heat units, and moisture. So we look at a number of agroclimatic indices, and I'll just highlight some of these. And doing some of our studies, we've basically downscaled for future scenarios. We've downscaled some of the global climate model outputs, and I won't go into the details of that. And I'm also highlighting in my presentation the results from the Canadian global climate models, basically forced under the A1B scenario. But as was presented earlier, emissions are significantly higher than that. And you look at a baseline period between 61 to 90 and future period in the 2050s. And looking at, for example, growing season length for cool season crops, which is basically wheat and barley and small grain cereals such as that, where you look at consistent temperatures above 5 degrees C after winter, but also not exceeding 30 degrees, we find that there's really not a substantial change in growing season length for cool season crops in the Canadian prairies. It's not what we would expect. In terms of growing season length for warm season crops. In other words, if you're looking at things like corn and soybeans, where you're looking at accumulation of temperatures above 10 degrees C, and where the limitation in terms of temperature is not considered, but given some of the results, maybe should be. You do see a substantial increase in growing season length in the order of upwards of close to 200 days. So it shows that there is a potential for shift on the basis of temperature for a shift from cool season to warm season crops in the Canadian prairies. Canadian prairies primarily produce wheat. Wheat is about 60% of the harvest of the Canadian prairies, but they also have oil seeds like canola and the like. Crop heat units for warm season crops, I'm just giving you highlights of some of our results, also show a substantial increase. In a lot of places, I think Manitoba is probably the only place where you could grow things like corn currently. But in the future, it shows a substantial increase in the amount of crop heat units that would be available. So the only limiting factor would then be moisture. And if you look at moisture deficits for cool season crops, the prairies in a baseline climate have between 100 to about 400 millimeters of moisture deficit. That would remain more or less the same for cool season crops, again, because of the constraints that we have and because the limits in the growing season length for the cool season crops. And this would increase to upwards of 500 to 600 millimeters for warm season crops. So it is a marked increase, but not substantially so. It is or could be manageable. So primarily looking at these from a Canadian perspective, you look like, you know, potential increases in growing season length, substantial increases in crop unit, and not that big of an increase in moisture deficit. So looks primarily positive. And so climate change, and maybe perhaps that contributes to some of the, complacency, let's say, from in terms of discussion from an agriculture perspective. But in all of these, and we are doing some studies looking at variability, climate variability, in all of this, we haven't taken year-to-year variability into account. And basically, these are also values that are not well captured within the climate models. And the prairies, for all the stable climate they have, suffer from relatively frequent droughts. For example, just to highlight a couple of the periods, we just recently experienced one, as a matter of fact, this particular last season. The last significant drought was the 2001-2002 drought. Much of the southern prairies was quite affected, and that affected economic losses, resulted in economic losses in excess of $5 billion. The impact of this one is not fully known yet. It's still being tallied. A substantial part of northern Alberta, western Saskatchewan, and also Manitoba were affected. What's interesting in my discussions with Jim Cornelius yesterday, I found out that, in fact, this data shows up to the end of August, and that's just mainly when the wheat and similar crops are harvested. They were actually able to get a warm enough September to harvest, to keep their crop on and harvest and get a reasonable crop, which is usually, as I said, most of the harvesting is done by the end of August. So there may be some recovery, but it's still considered a substantial drought that we've just experienced. So the frequency and severity of these are expected to increase over time, and the impacts, of course, on food security globally, because Canada is also a net exporter, could be significant. And again, as I said, these are not well captured. Now, I'll just briefly go over an area I'm interested in. I'm originally from Ethiopia. I've tried to look at what are potential impacts on climate change in an African setting. And the projected increases of temperature in excess of 2 to 5 degrees, and it's considered beyond the optimal ranges of crop production for the region. Rainfall reductions of as much as 50%, as you can see for the middle figure for much of southern Africa and northern and northwestern Africa, with some increases in the Sahel and the Sahara, and also partly in eastern and central Africa. But again, there's a weakness in the projection of precipitation by the global climate models. It's understood. If you look at the bottom one, the number of models that agree in what precipitation projections are limited. And the other thing is these models do not represent well drivers of climate variability, such as El Nino, Southern Oscillation, and similar indices. They also don't capture persistence of extreme events. So if you have a prolonged drought, like the one Australia has experienced and that East Africa is experiencing, they're not well captured. In looking at, again, some of the temperature yield relationships, this is the left-hand side will show you the effects for corn and wheat. That's basically a survey of a lot of the literature, and with and without adaptive measures. It shows the right hand of the left hand shows the lower latitudes, basically around the tropics, that there will be substantial more decreases in the tropics. In contrast, if you look at the Canadian one, some of the field trials show for our conditions that anywhere in excess of 2,400, you get increases in corn yields, for example, and we have similar results for soybean yields with increases in crop heat units. What's important in these regions is rainfall, and particularly the onset, the seasonal amounts and intensity, which are critical factors. And basically, these have been shown to increase, to have increased variability recently, substantial increases in the variability of these amounts. And in fact, anecdotally, I think I understand that the rains didn't start, for example, in Ethiopia in sometime in upwards of July or mid-July, and they're normally supposed to start early June. And so there's been quite a disruption to the system. And we heard on Monday that the Indian monsoons were considered to fail this year with at least a 23% reduction. So this has substantial influence. Climate Prediction Center of NOAA has indicated in up to 20% of the moisture or the rainfall that is expected within this region is what was experienced between February and September of 2009 of this year. And the FEWS, the famine early warning, shows a substantial amount of Eastern Africa under stress of food security because of the droughts. And some of the gleanings that I've had from the newspaper shows in India, drought, Kenya, water table or groundwater amounts being depleted, and particularly, for example, from the gleanings for that, 24 million in East Africa at severe risk of hunger and destitution, and primarily to failed and unpredictable rains. The wet season's becoming shorter. They're experiencing droughts now once in 2 to 3 years, whereas in the past it was like one in a decade. And again, as I mentioned, severe groundwater depletion. And one of these reports was just indicated. Climate Change Science Compendium is basically a review of literature since the last assessment, and they're basically saying that there's even greater acceleration in the amount of climate change that's taking place. And I think I'll just close it at that.
Thank you very much.